Well, I've had a habit for a number of years. I get a serious card, and then I get a funny card. And I couldn't find the right serious card, so I wound up buying four cards this afternoon. So she's going to have 4 days of... And I got one funny card. And I finally got one that I thought was appropriate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, are you glad you're in church on a Wednesday night? Now, we won't do this all the time, but we're just kind of executive privilege tonight. On your birthday and on your anniversary, I guess you can just spread your wings and praise God in the midst of it. I'll tell you one thing, thank God, whatever we do, it's kept us for 50, 60 years now of marriage. Amen. My friend Evangelist Glenn Shin said, if you treat your wife like a thoroughbred, she won't wind up being an old nag. That really is, that's better than homespun philosophy. That's true. Amen, amen, amen. Well, how many Bibles do we have here tonight? All right. Just for, won't you be turning to 1 Corinthians 15, and I just appreciate so much the response that we've been having to the New Conquerors Club. Good things are happening there. We appreciate Brother Tony doing a great job there, and we have exciting plans to be doing more and more and meeting more needs, praise God. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest needs in America outside of people being born again is to know how to have a happy marriage and a happy home. It's so important. It's so important. It affects your prayer life. It affects where you work. It affects your health. It affects everything in your life. And so we feel this is part and part of the gospel. You know, the Bible says a lot about marriage. Man, listening to the pastor of Second Baptist Church coming into the church today. Whoo, boy. He was scorching them on marriage. Amen. I better not go there. He did a good job of getting a message over, though. He sure did. Got to love one another. Got to love one another. Amen. Amen. All right. Better not get started on that one. It's our anniversary, so we'll... 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 9, Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Praise the Lord. "By the grace of God, I am what I am." I'd like to just take a few moments in this service and just celebrate the grace of God. You know, when you think about it, remember that before the creation of all things, God Almighty looked down through the telescope of time. He saw every one of us in this service. He knew what pew you would be sitting in. He knew your name, had the hairs on your head numbered, although you weren't born. Amen. And God is such an awesome God. He looked ahead. He saw us. And what a wonderful God he is. But that word grace is a tremendous word. I like what the late Charles Capps had to say about it. He said, "The grace of God is God's willingness to give us his best, even though we don't deserve it." And really, just put that in a now sense, because he's already given us his grace. God has already given us his grace. He's not having a board meeting in heaven tonight asking the Son and the Holy Spirit, "Do you think we ought to have mercy and grace on these people or whatever. It's already been determined. The grace of God, God's willingness to give us His best. And we're bringing a message on radio this week. I pulled up one of the older messages. The fact that God's grace communicates to us that God loves us, period. Not if, not when, not but, not if you do this or you sing this or you say this or you don't do whatever. God loves us, period. And if you choose not to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, His love will follow you to the gates of hell. It really will. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will be on your trail all your life. I believe it was Clovis Chapel that called the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven, who never gets off the trail. And as long as there's life, God is pursuing us, saying, give me a chance. Let me save you. Let me forgive you of your sins. Let me change your life. Let me do what no other power can do. I think of my own life. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that, but I've done a little thought life along these lines. I think of my father, who was raised on a farm in Seymour, Texas. And Dad had a father and a mother both that passed away early. And he worked hard and then was able to go to Baylor Law School in Waco and worked his way through law school at Baylor in Waco. And then I think of my mother, who was raised in Greenwood, Mississippi. My mother, my aunt, my grandmother, raised in Greenwood, Mississippi. Now, there's a pretty good distance between Waco or Seymour and Greenwood, and yet God brought them together. You know, God's a champion at putting people together that need to be together, and Satan's a champion at putting people together that don't need to be put together. So everything's not of God. You've got to understand that. But I think of the grace of God that my grandmother came to Houston, Texas on a business trip. She was quite an entrepreneur. And came to Houston, Texas, and she saw an advertisement in the paper, Salvation, Healing, Holy Ghost. She said, I didn't have a clue what the Holy Ghost meant. And said, our particular brand of Baptist never taught you must be born again. It's hard to believe, but, you know, there's as many Baptists as there are other veins of Presbyterian or Lutheran or whatever it might be. And so she said, I didn't know anything about salvation, didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. But she said, I needed healing. And so I said, I'll go over to that church. No one knows me here. And the Baptists will never find out about that, so it won't be a disgrace. And if I get healed, I'm ahead. And if I don't, well, no one will know the difference. Well, thank God, she said, she told me so many times. She said, Sonny, I was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and healed in Houston, Texas. Under the ministry of Raymond T. Ritchie, who was sort of, I guess you'd say, an Oral Roberts type of individual. He was a man that preached in tents, and where there would be a tragedy, if with all this thing on the border, he'd have a tent down there feeding them by day and preaching to them by night. And he just had a ministry. If there was a tornado or some catastrophe would happen, Raymond T. Ritchie was a powerful force for God, and he believed in signs, wonders, and miracles. Praise the Lord. So I just think, and then when Dad and Mother got married, Mother said, I'd never really had any teaching about, you know, don't be unequally yoked together. And that's not the best idea. In fact, the Word of God tells us don't do that. If you're already there, well, you're there and believe them in. But, you know, with Mother, she went to the Baptist church, and I love the Baptist people. I love the Baptists that preach salvation by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe those that believe the Word of God. And My mother said one day she woke up because she had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit through Dr. W.J. Lucas in Austin, Texas. See, I was almost in Austin. I was scheduled to go to Austin back in 1964, 62. I had a unanimous call to a church in Austin, Texas. And Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin had a word in the Spirit. And thank God for that word. And we waited a couple of years. And then God said, go here. So we did. And so we've been here for 50 years as founders and pastors of this church. Amen. So that was quite an expression. But Mother said one day it was just like she was going to die if she didn't get with some folks that knew how to pray and pray in the Spirit. No, really, you know, if you're really serious about this thing, you know, it was more than just receiving an experience with her. And so it really, I guess that's the only time they didn't quite agree on things. The final assessment of that was that I got to go to a Pentecostal, full gospel church, and that I have the roots that I have today. It could have been otherwise. It could have been otherwise. Could have been otherwise. My father was a wonderful man, a man of great character. And later on, a few years later, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and attended our church. But at that time, it was just kind of a trying time. It's interesting to notice that where my young beginning days were, I saw lean years of pastors that did not have a vision. Good men, precious men, love God with all their heart, but they just didn't have a vision for souls. They didn't have a vision for outreach. And I mean, our little church just hung in there. It was, I didn't know it could be better, so I guess I didn't get too upset about it. But I'll never forget, after 5 pastors in 4 years, that God sent a man by the name of Carl Alcorn to pastor that church. He'd been an evangelist on the field. He had pastored some of the great churches of our nation. And he came in, and I'll never forget. I'm just reminiscing a little bit this day because this is a very strategic day in my life. And Brother Alcorn, he said they voted him in, all 24 people that were left. He said, I can't make a bigger mess of this church than you folks have made, so from now on I'll be here until God tells me to leave. No one's going to run me off. And he drove a stake. But he said, we're going to put up a gospel tent out on that vacant lot next door to the church. And he said, then we're going down to Hemphill Street between those taverns down there. We're going to set it up the whole summer. We're going to reach out for souls. And he said, we're going on the radio. And he said, we're going on that big power station. I believe it used to be XEG. If it's still going, I don't know. But, you know, they've got a couple of blowtorch stations right on the border of Mexico there. And he said, we're going to carpet this church. And, boy, a couple of ladies said, you know, it was just really a shock, you know. Someone said, we're going to do something. They said, well, that costs money. Everything costs money. Amen. But you know what? I saw God honor the faith of that man. And I moved up and got on the front seat. Man, I said, I believe we got a champion here. Hallelujah. He preached like he meant it. And we started seeing a few folks saved in our church. Then we went on the radio and we started seeing people come in. We were on the south side there, so they were coming in from Cleburne and all out in there, and man, I don't know where they got red clay on the tires, but there were some cars that came in, had mud on the tires, red clay, and people were coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And all of a sudden, church became real exciting. We only lived 3 blocks away. I'd ride my bicycle up there to beat the family. I didn't want to miss anything. Praise the Lord. They'd have a radio broadcast from the auditorium every morning, and I'd ride up there and be real quiet, slip in, listen. And, you know, during all that time, something was happening in my young spirit. I tell you, you need to stay around where something's happening. You need to stay around vision. You need to stay around people that want to do something for God. People that, and Brother Alcorn started calling prayer meetings. And, man, my Lord, especially, and then, of course, I grew up there. But I remember down there with Mother praying, It's amazing the color of gum that's on the bottom of church altars. And usually it's pretty good stuff. You know, people put it up there because they're praying and they don't get through with all the flavor, and so they stick it up under the, oh, yeah. Oh, my. And then Brother Alcorn began to bring in a good evangelist, bring in men that had a vision, bring in men that would challenge us, men that told us that God was a healer and that God still saved people today, and that the Lord wants to save cities and turn cities around. And I'll tell you, something was birthed in my heart. There's not a day that I live that, or a week that I live that I don't go back. And this is why I believe with all my heart, our kids need to be around an atmosphere where God's doing something. Amen. I mean, they're into blood and wars and armies and all that. Get them out where the real fight is. Praise God. Get them out and let's put on the whole armor of God and learn how to stand and withstand. And that's what's happening. You know, I'm just so thrilled seeing some of our younger people now. Boy, and they are catching fire. And there's probably 200-300 people down there that are into the building tonight on this evening. And that spilled over into where we are even now. And you can see the results of that. I mean, folks, it's just time to do something. Time to do something. And I say this and move on, but it is very strange. If you know of anyone that's upset about winning souls, your friend needs to get saved and you need to get you a better friend. Don't let your friend pull you under. Amen. I want to be in a church that's doing something for God. I want to be in a church that's going out to the highways and the hedges and the streets and the lanes and the cities. I want to be in a church that tells dying men that they can live. Broken marriages, that they can be healed and mended. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to be in a church that's doing something. Well, I've got to stay on track here. Praise God. So God, well, I am on track. Praise God. And then in that church, it was just amazing how that you've heard me talk of some of the ministries that came through. And I mean, it was just exciting to see men that God was using in a strong way. It's just the grace of God. It was the grace of God. I said it was the grace of God. And you know, I mean, when the church began to change and became evangelistic and things began to happen, I had 3 or 4 very good little friends in the church, and their parents got offended. And they dropped out of church. My friends dropped out of church. And it's tragic and sad, some of the things that happened in some of their lives. I'm going to tell you, it's important that we influence one another. It's important that we encourage one another. It's important for our young people to see signs, wonders, and miracles, and to see people that have a vision, to see people that really want to do something for God. Our young people need to see people being born again and good things happening. Praise God. Amen. Then I went to Southwestern, felt the call of God on my life, and it was there that I met Joy. And I was up in my room in the dorm there, and there were about three or four guys that they were my friends. Anyway, everybody's talking about they're going to date that new girl that had just come in. And while they talked about it, I went downstairs, went across the campus, and she happened to be standing by that big tree that's still standing down there. And I introduced myself and got her all dated up for the next 3 or 4 big events that were coming up. And so my friends finally got down there, but it was too late. One of them said, "You dog, you had her all tied up." I said, "No, she did what she wanted to do. She saw a good deal and she got in on it." Praise God. So we led praise and worship, and she played her accordion, and I sang, and for a number of years, in and out and off and on, I've done praise and worship. Of course, I'm called to preach. That's what I'm called to do. But, you know, I think of the grace of God, that God gave me a good wife. It was the grace of God. Darling, God gave me a good wife. Praise God. She'd never... Amen. And what a blessing she was, and what a blessing she's been over these years. I really can't believe it. Someone said, does it seem a long time? And no, it's gone by so very quickly because we've always been busy. We've always had a vision of some kind, pursuing what we felt God was calling us to do, and there are lull times in anyone's life or ministry. But I just think of all that God did during those times. Then I think of the years of apprenticeship. We spent 8 years of apprenticeship, and they were very valuable years. You see, young ministers need to know how to respect older ministers. I want to say that again. Younger ministers need to learn, especially beginning in the ministry, need to learn how to understand and respect and honor older ministers who have been in the faith for some time. Amen. And I thank God for that. And I see so many that just fall by the wayside. You try to tell them something, they bristle up and they know it all, and they crash and they burn. I'm going to tell you, man, I've spent so many nights on my face before God saying, Lord, change me. I'd see something in myself that needed to be changed, or someone of stature talked to me about something, and I said, hey, thank you for sharing with me. And I'd go straight to the church and crawl through the window and lock the doors and spend the night in prayer and say, God, change me. Amen. I want to obey God. I want to do what God wants us to do. And who we are and how we do it affects how people receive what we've got. Some people say, no one wants what I've got. Well, look in the mirror, honey, and you'll understand that. Oh, God, help us. Then I just think of the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. I said the grace of God. Hallelujah. I think of when we started in that post office building that you hear us talk about quite often. We worked real hard for about 5 years and turned a rugged commercial post office building into a lovely little chapel. Nice little chapel, seats a little over 200, just a little over 200. But we weren't getting anyone saved. It was just breaking my heart. And I'll never forget going to the study one Sunday and saying, God, I'll do anything that's right and anything that works to win souls. We didn't start a church just to have another church in town. And that is so sad to me. I mean, you need more than a church for a meal ticket. You need to know that God's called you to do what you're doing. And as we cried out to God, within days, the Jesus hippie people came through. And you've heard the story. Almost turned them down, but we said we'll try it for a week. And 13 weeks later, praise God, we had seen hundreds of young people give their hearts and lives to Jesus. And you know, that one era has branded this ministry through all these years. We obeyed God. More than once I've swung out when it was not popular. More than once. We lost some people about that time. They didn't want to come to church with folks like that. But you know what? There are other folks that did. And our church began to grow. And then those hippies wanted to go out and win boys and girls to Jesus. And we were running 13 buses at one time back then. And fastest way to go to heaven is to get hit by a bus on the corner of Willing Street and Westbury. Because those buses didn't have very good brakes on them anyway.
Shout the victory.
Thank you. Thank you. But we saw God just doing signs, wonders, and miracles, and it's exciting. So exciting. Hallelujah. What God has done. The grace of God. You know, it's just like this. Do you really want to be a part of a church that's doing something? Or a church that's doing nothing and makes no requirements? You can come when you want to. Come if you feel like it. And when you go, you wonder why you went. I'm going to tell you that there's more than just having a brand new facility. There's more than just having the latest bells and whistles. I want to be where people are being born again. I want to be where people are finding Jesus. I want to be where people are reaching out. Thank God, from this auditorium, 10,000 miles away, a 50,000 watt television station is going. I'd rather have that than all the finery in the world, if I had to take a choice. And I'm just excited. We're going to see a number of things changing around here because we're working on it, and we're not far away from it. But, you know, we're going to keep the main thing the main thing. Hallelujah. I say we're going to keep the main thing the main thing. But I think of this, and I think of strategic times in my life, and I'm not going to enter into any detail, but I think of times when the grace of God kept me from making serious mistakes. I mean serious mistakes. Now, don't look so sanctimonious on me now. I mean, God, if you want to be kept, God will keep you. You don't have to fail. I've seen so many ministers fail and bring disgrace to the cause of Christ. And things that I've seen, I've said, God, help me to learn lessons from what I've seen. You don't have to crash and burn. You don't have to. I mean, there's a Bible full of stuff here to tell you how to keep going when everyone else is falling by the wayside. How to rise above when everybody else gets offended. You don't have to be offended. If your best friend leaves, why, sorry about that, but God will send you other friends. How can you lose a friend you never had? I've lost several ministry friends. Back in 1993, I had to walk away from several friends who didn't believe in revival. How in the world can you believe in being born again, spirit-filled, and yet you don't believe in revival? And then we've experienced right here in the last 2 years, actually, people that got offended at this church because we were winning souls. They said, the church has changed. No, we're just doing more of what we've always been doing. What we should be doing. What God called us to. I mean, what's wrong with winning souls? What's wrong with rescuing people from hell? What's wrong with populating heaven and depopulating hell? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with telling people you can kick the drug habit? You can kick the drug habit. You don't need that alcohol. You don't need drugs. You don't need drugs. I'll tell you, God can do it. God can do it. God can do it. This church believes in that. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to make a fool out of yourself. God bless them. Someone, my heart went out to them, but I mean, they were in and out, up and down, off and on, and come in, and you'd think they got it made this time, and they'd go right back into the world system. You know, the problem is, you see, I'll tell you what keeps me preaching, trying to preach strong. When your prison minister goes to prison, and he dies in prison, you haven't experienced that, have you? God sent a prison minister in, and the federal judge said, if you ever have one more offense, you'll never see the light of day. You'll never see the free world again. And yet, he left off in prayer, and he started being careless in this, and careless in, and I can't afford to tithe, and started missing church services. And you know, the trail is the same. There's no new something to learn. It's the same old brown sack. Satan just changes the ribbon on the sack. And it just broke my heart. A man that I saw God using on our staff. And I know we did the right thing in putting him on staff. But you see, the clay turned in the hands of the potter. Folks, you got to give God something to work with. I said, you got to give God something to work with. Amen. Got to give God something to work with. We got to keep the vision. Got to keep the fire burning. You know my fireplace story. I love a wood-burning fireplace. I know you ladies don't like the ashes, but I was raised with wood-burning fireplace. But there's a problem with a wood-burning fireplace. You got to keep putting wood on the fire to keep the fire going. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. You've got to keep putting wood on the fire and stoking the fire and give it attention. You have the best fire in the neighborhood and go away and come back in 2 or 3 hours and it's all gone. And that's what I'm trying to say. Whoever we've got around here, by the grace of God, I'm going to stir you up. We're going to stay red hot in this house. By the grace of God, We're going to stay red hot in this house. Amen. You can't afford to do anything else. I can't afford to do anything else. Jesus is coming soon. The world is in trouble. Our nation needs God. Overseas needs God. It's almost like it was with Dag Hammarskjöld years ago when he got on Air Force One. They said, "Where do we go, Mr. Secretary?" He said, "Just go anywhere. We got problems all over. We got problems all over the world. And we don't know what to do about it." There is no answer except God's answer. We must have. Billy Graham has said it. Reinhard Bonnke has said it. Any minister that has any credibility has said it. We must have spiritual revival in this nation. And it starts in us individually, personal revival, and it starts in a local church. You can have all the revivals and all the moves of God you want to have out somewhere else. And God bless him. I know he made mistakes in his life, but Jimmy Swaggart, when he saw our church downtown, he said, "Bob," he said, "guys like us don't have any business out on the field unless there's pastors and churches like this here to conserve the converts and to minister to people and to help people." He saw that need and communicated that. But folks, what I'm saying tonight, do you realize the grace of God's brought us together on a Wednesday night? You say, "What's the purpose in it?" I don't know. I'm not God, but there's a purpose in it. And I'll tell you one thing, you're better off being right here than you'd be home watching 3 hours of television. And I'm conservative in my politics, but you can just watch so much of that. You better get the answer in your spirit. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Holy Ghost revival. The answer is our nation must wake up. Our churches must wake up. Amen. It's time for people to be born again in churches. It's time for our churches to be something besides a funeral parlor or a glamorous funeral parlor. Thank God. Thank God for the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God for the grace of God, for the grace of God, for the grace of God. Hallelujah. Oh, for the grace of God. I just think of that move of God in 1993. You know, you just can't tell. You can't tell me God can't do it because I've already been a part of it. Time and time again. I'll never forget crying out to God, knowing our nation must have revival in 93, January of 93. Went down to Florida. We saw revival, Holy Ghost revival. Invited the evangelist to come. He said, "Why should I come to Fort Worth?" I said, "If you can have a move of God in Fort Worth, you can have one anywhere." Amen. And you don't tell a South African that. Amen. And he came. And you know, just think about it. Just think about it. We saw, those of us that were there that saw it, we saw it without radio, without television, without PR. People came, they crawled out from under a rock. Church vans came in from El Paso, Texas. Church of Christ, Catholic vans. I mean, things that are not normal happened. It's just the Holy Ghost just reached out and just got a hold of people and brought them in. Amen. People that would not ordinarily have come in. And I'll tell you, when God begins to move, things begin to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. And a wind began to blow and a river began to flow and a fire began to burn. And the Spirit of God began to move in a supernatural way. Thank God, thank God, thank God. So I just believe with all of my heart that God brought us here tonight. Hallelujah. And the strength of God is in this house. The grace of God. Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And I want to declare it tonight. By the grace of God, I am whatever I am, the good part of it. Amen. Folks, but none of us are going to make it without the grace of God. Do you understand that? None of us are going to make it without the grace of God. Amen. Some of you haven't repented all day long.
If your salvation depended on repenting every time you stubbed your toe, you're in trouble. Don't you feel flames on your toes? No, but follow what I'm saying. I'm not talking about heaven or hell. I'm talking about heaven on your way to heaven. Amen. Amen. Of course, you see, one group says you never have to repent. Watch out for the crowd that says you never have to repent. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. But there's two-thirds of Paul's writings that tell us what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Not legalistic stuff, but I mean, marriages go better when you do what God said to do about marriages. Your finances go better when you do what God said to do about finances, right? Your health is better when you do what God's Word said to do about your health. Your relationships are better. I mean, you can't act like a nerd and have the blessings of God on your life. Amen. God wants us to be gracious and full of the love of God. And the Ephesian letter said that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. You're not an old, rotten, dirty sinner. We're born again believers. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. Not perfect, but on our way to being perfect. But thank God my spirit's perfect before God. And because of the grace of God, I can sleep at night. I said, because of the grace of God, I can sleep at night. Hallelujah. Because of the grace of God, I can sleep at night. Because I know while He sleeps, while I sleep, He's at work. Oh, thank God, thank God. So I don't have to sit around every day saying, He loves me, He loves me not. He loves me, He loves me not. I'm talking about God now. He loves me, He loves me not. He loves me, He loves. Oh, God loves me, period. Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the grace of God. He loves us. He loves me. He loves you. He loves us. And by the grace of God, we are what we are. You know, there's a lot of people that don't even make a pretense of trying to serve God because they said, I can't do it. Well, you got that right. You can't do it in your own strength, but you can do it in His strength. And if you want to be kept, God will keep you. I said, God will keep you. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. So Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And God's grace in me was not bestowed upon me in vain. I just wanted to reminisce a little bit tonight on this historic time in our life, 60 years of marriage. And I want to thank God. If you want your marriage to be kept, God will keep you. Amen? Just make the adjustments you need to make. And I know God's not condemning us, and this church is not a church of condemnation. No, 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 no. But, oh, God's just calling us to rise to a higher plane. If you want to be kept, God will keep you. If you want to be set free, God will set you free. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. If you want to get over that spirit of offense, God will take you out of that thing. God will bring you over. Amen. Praise God. Just say every day, just say, Father, as a faith act of my will, I forgive him and her and them and all them, whoever it might be, I forgive them in the name of the Lord. And let's go on and have Holy Ghost revival. Let's don't sit around and suck our thumb and just stay mad at the world and mad at whoever hurt our feelings. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to miss God's best because of folks that don't want to go on. Amen. We got to stop living out of the rearview mirror and go on down the road. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the grace of God. You know, John on the Isle of Patmos, John could have gotten mad at God. Said, after all I've done, all the sacrificing I've done, and they got me out on this rock pile, no flat screen TV, no gourmet food, no 5-star hotel, on this rock pile out here. It's not right. It's not fair. But you know, the Bible said that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You remember the time when David encouraged himself in the Lord. God wants you to do that now. Encourage yourself in the Lord. I said, encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Life is worth living. God's not through with you yet. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Some folks going home, but I've still got work to do. There's a job to be done. All the families aren't in. There's a job yet to be done. Our city needs every one of us. I said our city needs every one of us. Praise be unto God. Our city needs every one of us. Receive some of the kindest cards and letters. That's always deeply appreciated, because all you receive is not that way. Just thanking us for Calvary being here and how their lives are being changed and how they're going on with God. You know, there's a lot of wonderful people in this world. There's a lot of wonderful people in this church. I mean, they're some of the most precious people in the whole wide world in this church. They love for the right reasons. They're hungry for God. God's bringing them in from the north and the south and the east and the west. Hallelujah. I said, God's bringing them in from the north and the south and the east and the west. Hallelujah. It's just a great day to be alive. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. By the grace of God, I'm learning more and more every day about how to live a victorious Christian life. By the grace of God, this church has had an explosion of going out into the highways and the hedges and winning people to Jesus. Oh, what a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God. Thank God, thank God. Well, stand to your feet and let's praise our Lord tonight. Oh, would you just stand to your feet and let's praise our God tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. You know, God called me in the ministry and I went to Bible college. It seemed like everybody had an uncle or a grandfather or somebody, a relative in their family who had church ability to help people find churches, that kind of thing. But I'll tell you, being a lawyer's kid didn't help me at all. But you know, I just believed that God would send me where he wanted me to be and have me do what I was supposed to do. And it's really amazing. It's really amazing all the places that God has sent us, different parts of the world, and how that God's helped us to start with a little $40,000 commercial post office building. And in our third location, this church has so much potential. Church has so much potential. And I tell you, we're in better shape than we've been in, and I don't know when. I tell you, the spiritual-wise, amen. Because when we're in one place and one accord, hell can't stop us. Hell can't stop us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hell can't stop us. Hell can't stop us. We're going on. We're going forward. We're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I wonder if you'd just join us for a final moment of prayer here in this front tonight. Could you join us for a final moment? Oh, let's look up to our God. Hallelujah. Sheila babarakorabakarakasai. Oh, yadalavosata yasai. Father, we cry out for the wisdom of God. And the mind of Christ. Father, we thank you for the souls that have been saved, but we thank you for the harvest of souls that is yet to come. Praise be unto God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, touch everyone in this room tonight. Touch every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Touch them by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Touch them, O God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, let the fire burn. Hallelujah. Oh, let the fire burn. Let the river flow, Lord. We thank you right now. Oh, let the fire burn. Let the river flow. Let the rain come down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sida bavaria de levare baba bebele vaya. Doria de lavoria de levele ve. Let's pray for our president in Washington, D.C. tonight. All the congressmen, the senators, and all of those in strategic positions. Father, we pray, first of all, for our president tonight. Lord, that you touch his mind, his body, his spirit. Touch his wife, Lord, her mind, her body, her spirit, we pray. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, send revival from the White House to the least house, we pray. Oh, send revival to the Senate. Send revival to the House of Representatives. Send revival to the pages and the workers and those that are there assisting people in high places. Father, we just ask, Lord, that a miracle of healing touch the doctor now that has just returned from Africa. Oh, Father God, let your healing power flow into his life, I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, his co-worker there, oh, let the healing power of God flow into her body, I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, send a mighty moving of your spirit through Washington, D.C., I pray, and that entire part of the country. Oh yes, Lord. Send a mighty moving of your spirit, I pray. Send spiritual revival across America, coast to coast and border to border. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, stir up the churches. Start the work with us, Lord. Start the work with Pastor Bob Nichols. God, stir up the churches, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we stir up the churches. Father, we call people in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Those that are saved that don't have a church home. Oh, Father, bring them in. Lord, those that know not the Lord, move upon them, I pray, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, send spiritual revival across this land, I pray. Lord, we just ask you that this 17 and a half acres be electrified by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that when people drive on these parking lots, the fire of God the rain of God, the river of God will touch their lives in a profound way. Touch evangelist Rodney Hart Brown tonight, we pray, Father. Minister to him mightily, we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you for protection over all of the campers. We thank you for protection, Lord, over our people that went to Panama. Father, we thank you for the many souls that were won to Jesus because of their boldness and their obedience to God. In Jesus' name. Father, we call in finances for the people. Finances for the people. We call them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call them into Calvary Cathedral International. We call them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, just keep your hand on all the buses and the vans as they go out and come in. We thank you for a great day Sunday, a great day of souls coming to Jesus, a safety day for the vans and the buses, we pray. A day of encouragement for the workers. In Jesus' name we pray. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name. Well, praise God.
There is a relative of someone that attends here in Spring, Texas, that they had an accident. A tree limb fell on her head, and they requested prayer tonight for her from the body here at Calvary. So let's lift up Lori Garza. Amen. Father, we pray for Lori Garza in the name of Jesus. We speak to her body right now. We speak to your body, Lori, in the name of Jesus. We command any effects, any negative effects to go in Jesus' name. We send forth healing, the healing power of Jesus into your body, and we declare it is well. It is well. It is well in your body. It is well in your head. We say, be whole, be healed, be restored, stronger and better than before in Jesus' name. Father, do a quick work, we pray. We believe the report of the Lord and do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness, we pray. Oh God, Father, meet every need be met, every financial need, every emotional need, every spiritual need, every physical need, in Jesus' name. Everybody agree, say amen. Pastor, can one more thing. In Children's Church tonight, we had 133 children in Children's Church tonight. Listen to this. Listen to this. 65 children answered the altar call for salvation tonight in Jesus' name.
Well, let's give God the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, we can say what Jesus said. I must be about my Father's business. Oh, aren't you thrilled to hear a report like that? Didn't mean to depress you. Amen. Rosetta, how many folks did you girls lead to Jesus over in Panama? Around 345. Roseanne and Alma and Christina, three ladies. Praise God. Peter, James, and John. Amen. Well, we rejoice with you. That is so thrilling. Well, the Lord bless you. Sunday's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. I'll be ministering Sunday morning. And it's just going to be a joyous day of praise and worship. And just help us spread the word. We have some Joyous praise and worship, folks, coming to be with us. God bless you.